I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So glad to have you listening today. We've got a different kind of show. We're talking about the healing journey God has had us on these days in hopes to encourage your faith, to encourage you to believe the promises of God, because you know what? He's faithful to His Word. And this is a journey of twists and turns. Many of you have asked to hear more. I talked a little bit about it, or actually a lot bit about it when I was on the show with Bill. But I'm going to give even more detail on today's show. My husband, Kevin, joins me again today. And if you missed our conversation before this one, we gave our backstory and what it's been like to be married with someone with a chronic illness. And you can check out that previous show that we did together. He did much of the talking on that show. I may do much of the talking on this one, but we want this to be a back and forth conversation to encourage you. I also want you to know, Kevin and I today will be referring to a book that's absolutely rocked our world. We read a blog post on God's power to heal, and I'll give you some of my struggles and challenges with believing, does God heal all the time? And you probably know if you followed me long enough, I have wrestled with that. And we'll both talk about that. But we read a post, and this author referred to this book, Christ the Healer. It's by F.F. Bosworth. It's 100 years old, I think, 500,000 copies in print. So Kevin and I, out of our ministry, purchased 10 copies to give away today, and we're praying those copies get into the right hands at the right time of those who need them most, praying for you. So if you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. This book is rocking our world. It is really the most biblical case I've ever read on Jesus' desire to heal you and to see you well. I hope by the end of the show, we've made a compelling case for you to believe that God really does want you well and that it really is part of salvation. There's a mystery to all of it. Again, we'll tackle that as well. But let me give my honey a proper introduction. We'll get the conversation started. With more than 40 years in the construction industry, Kevin Larson is a natural-born leader with a missions-oriented mindset. He received the prestigious Distinguished Humanitarian Award for outreach that has made a positive global impact. He's also been featured in the Marquee's Who's Who in America for professional integrity, outstanding achievement, and making innumerable contributions to society. Whether he's running a large-scale construction project or mentoring a group of guys, he pours his passion and energy into building successful men, strong families and communities, and award-winning structures. He's married to me, and together we have three amazing sons, three beautiful daughters-in-law, three precious grandchildren, and one really cool pit bull named Memphis. Kev, welcome back to the show.
Don't we have a cool life when you just read all that? So we have a great life, don't we?
Yeah, God has built something great through out of the ashes of great pain and suffering, which we talked about yesterday. But you know this, I love to start every day making it very personal. And you, I see you every morning. You've got your face in the Word, spending time with God before you even talk to me. So what's He been impressing upon your heart these days?
Well, just what we want to capture and talk about a little bit today is just how God speaks to us. And here we are in our 50s, and we are learning new things about God every single day. It's like He constantly is showing us just new ways that He wants to work in our lives, a new purpose, a new vision. So the verse that's really kind of been back and forth in my mind often here is in Joel 2:28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. So many times, God is speaking to us. After we have our time together in the morning, we're just reading and we're praying. And we come together, and it's like, you're not going to believe it. I had a dream last night, and it was something amazing that God is showing us. And we just kind of unpack it and see how God is speaking to us. But I think all of us are in this journey right now where God is mobilizing His church, is what we've been praying for a long time. He's mobilizing His people, and He's given new direction to people and showing us the things that He wants us to know and do. And so as we are leaning in and listening, He speaks to us in all different ways. I often joke that the young men will see visions, and the old men will dream dreams. I was really hoping for visions, but I get dreams often.
Right. So you have great eyebrows, honey.
That must mean I'm an old man.
But you know that there's an interesting backstory even with the dreams, because we feel very called to cross denominational lines, because that's the church. You know, there are believers who are Baptists and evangelicals, and there are Calvinists and Arminians. There are believers in every tribe. And there are those who maybe are going through the motions who aren't believers, but we feel very called in the ministry to cross denominational lines. And it's easier to toe a line, but people who do that, they want to validate you or vilify you. And so it's been a harder work, but it's been worth it because that's going to be heaven. And so when we get to issues like this, we try to step back from all the denominationally strong opinions about, do men still have dreams, you know? And we go right to the Word. And so this is one of those years ago, we are like, you know, the Word is super clear on this is a way that God sometimes speaks. Now, you can try to build a huge theology around one point, and that's when you get out of balance. We have mishmash dreams where we wake up and go, yeah, that was nothing. But when you have a vivid dream that you wake up and you're stunned by it and you got to think about it, and then you go to God's Word and He starts to bring clarity and it confirms some of the things He's been talking about, you got to pay attention to that. So that's an example, and it's a great setup for what we're talking about today, because for years you and I have been going, we know you're the God of miracles. So if there are things we're missing, show us. And that's really how He's led us in these last handful of years.
Right. And one kind of cool thing is when you start stringing dreams together, like sometimes they are just a mishmash. We don't even know what they mean. Sometimes we just reach out to our friends and trusted intercessors, and we ask them, what do you think about this? And they'll maybe remind us of another time when we had another dream that was a month ago or 2 months ago or a year ago that might be somewhat related. And then you just read the Word, you read Scripture, and some of these things, God speaks to us in so many different ways, but He ties these things together, and sometimes we don't know what a dream means the night that we have it or the morning we wake up. But 6 months later, we might remember, if we journaled that and wrote it down, we might remember what that meant and say, wow, that just so applies to what we're going through today.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mark Batterson's a very big proponent of writing it down. And we tend to have air amnesia. So writing things down and then revisiting reminds you of how specific and how faithful God has been. Mm-hmm. So yesterday we talked about what it's like to be married to me. So anyway, but truly we talked about what is it like for a spouse to live with someone with chronic issues. And it may not be sickness in your case, maybe depression or some other issue. But I just want you to know you can make it if you hang in there together. And today we're going to explore what has happened, because I've touched on it on the show, in these last few months, the healing journey that God has had us on. And I will set that up on the other side of the break. But I want to say, you know, this story may seem a little out of the box to you. And Kevin and I care deeply about being biblical Christians. We are in the Word every day. We are under the authority of a pastor, and we've got wisdom and many counselors who are biblical Christians. And thankfully, they're from cross denominations. We just purpose to do that, to surround ourselves with people, different denominational but biblical lanes. That is super important to us. But I'll just say, when you hear the story, it is funny how God used people across denominational lines. Some of this may mess with your sensibilities a little bit, but if you look at the healing stories in Scripture, there's always somebody offended by how Jesus healed somebody. Even in the Old Testament, when Naaman needed healing for, I think it was a skin condition or leprosy or something, and Elisha wouldn't even come out of the house. He's like, go jump in the river 7 times. He's like, I'm not doing that. And his servant is like, if it means to be healed, why don't you do it? And I think when you've been sick long enough or struggled long enough, you'll just do anything that God asks you to do. But I'm asking you to be receptive. I pray that you'd be prayerfully open to what we're going to say. Nobody can tell us any different as far as what God has done, because the evidence is just so clear in our lives. In my case, healing is coming in stages, but it is coming. What we've experienced already is just increased our appetite for future promises. And, you know, before we go to break, I would just love to know, before we set up what's happened in the last few months, how has the last few months impacted your faith?
The thing that's really jumping out lately is how God is always so present with us. And here we are reading a book that was written in 1924 by a guy that we don't know, obviously, but he was listening to God and paying attention back then. And truth is truth. It follows us. And here we are, like I said, in our 50s, and we're learning new things every single day about God as we just walk through our own faith journey. Like we're all on. We look to the Lord to see how is He leading us? How is He speaking? You know, is there anything that we need to tweak, do different? We always pray that we want to serve God in the most efficient and best way possible and reach as many people as we possibly can. So here we are reading this almost 100-year-old book and just pulling truth out of it. And it just makes you just think how sometimes we get so closed-minded, where we are just looking right in front of our feet and we're missing maybe what God is speaking through somebody else. There's just so many ways that God speaks to us, and we're grateful for those things. As we just walk through our own faith journey, we are listening more than ever to what is God saying and who is he saying it through. And we want to pay attention and learn everything that we can possibly can, because we just have so much to learn, and God is so big and so good. He just he's constantly leaning in and teaching us new things if we're listening.
If we're listening, and that I would say exactly the same thing, because you know we've cultivated a lifestyle of starting our day and ending our day with the Lord, but we're both taskmasters. We both run pretty hard, and there's a new level of listening that God's inviting us to, mm-hmm. and then you start to see it everywhere in Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit lead. I mean, and there might be areas in one part of your life where you're listening, but other areas you're like, you're almost like, I got this, right? But we don't got anything. When we let the Holy Spirit lead, He is the one who leads us into all truth. And there might be an area of striving in your life where God is saying, can you stop striving? Can you just back the truck up a little bit? Let me get in front of you. And let me lead you like the shepherd that I am, because I am faithful, and I promise to lead you into all truth, truth that will set you free. I'm Susie Larson talking to my dear husband, Kevin Larson, today, and we're talking about the healing journey that God has us on. When we come back, I'll set up this crazy, wild story. And again, I'm asking for humble receptivity, but you are that way. Our listeners are absolutely so amazing. But buckle up, because it's a little bit crazy and a whole lot of amazing. Talking again, my hubby Kevin. And oh my goodness, we've got 10 copies of Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Back to Susie Larson Live. I'm Susie Larson, and I'm joined by a very special guest today, my dear husband, Kevin. And he joined me the other day as we talked about the backstory of what it's like to be married to someone with a chronic illness or chronic issue. We gave some pretty intimate details of our struggle and our story. But here we are still standing. God is so faithful. Today's show is really dedicated to my healing journey. Many of you have asked because you've heard me say, God is healing me. And it's coming in stages, but he's definitely healing me. Most of you know the story of what happened with me. But for those who may be new to Faith Radio or adding new listeners from around the world all the time, quick synopsis. I have three boys. We have three boys. During our third pregnancy, I was on bed rest for 6 months. And during one of the days the doc let me get up to test the waters, I was 6 months along, so I had 3 months to go. I met my old college roommates. We went for a walk and had lunch. We were very careful, but I started to contract, so I had to go back to bed rest. Within 2 weeks of that outing, my face started to go numb, my vision blurred, my memory, short-term memory started to get funky, my arms would go numb, you know, just weird neurological symptoms and feeling exhausted and body aches and all that. Come to find out a year later that I contracted Lyme disease. So I battled terribly in the boys' early years. And then for about 20 years, I managed. You know, I probably 3-4 times a year, I'd end up in bed, couldn't get out of bed for a few days. And I always knew it was coming when my face would start to go numb and the neurological symptoms would flare. But other than that, I was a fitness instructor. I'm a fighter, you know. I mean, as far as I'm contending for health. And we, you know, again, we talked about this yesterday, but just 20 years of just working it through and making it work. And then 7 years ago, I had a pretty terrible relapse. Apparently, people with chronic Lyme have also a mold deficient gene very often, where you can't process mold. And that I had a massive exposure, and it was a mold that impacted my brain in 7 areas. And it was devastating to walk at this age and stage of life, the journey that was just as terrible, if not worse, in so many ways. Horrific, scary symptoms, and us just, me army crawling through the valley, trying to get out of it. And Kev was just a solid rock, and we appealed to God. And my book, Fully Alive, came out of that because it wasn't wasted on me. God really did some amazing things. But it has been in the last 7 years, 2 steps forward, 3 steps back kind of a thing. And there's plenty of times when I'm coming on the air, my two producers, Kim and Angie, we pray together before the show. We meet 15 minutes before go time, and we pray. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on and cried my eyes out because I'm so discouraged and so sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I haven't always done this valiantly, but God's been so faithful and merciful. So let's go back, Kev, to a year ago, because I love Christmas and I love Easter. And so every Easter, I kind of hope this year will be different. I'll get an Easter miracle. And we have stood on Scripture and said, you know, by your stripes, I'm healed. And, you know, we've stood on it, claimed it, fasted it, prayed it, marched around our house and declared it. And
for years. A long time.
Yes. And last Easter was especially difficult. Symptoms were just horrendous. And they culminated the night before Easter. And I didn't want to wake you up, but my heart was beating all over the place, through my chest, irregularly, pressure in my chest, numbing in my neck, up into my jaw. I felt, and I'd had these regular surges that felt like I was on the verge of a stroke. So I felt like I was going through a season where there was a gun to my head, and it could trigger into something much worse at any time. So there was a lot of really trauma and bracing for impact, and so discouraged and so, you know, despairing at times.
But you didn't want to wake me up.
I didn't.
That's so sweet.
I just feel like you've walked so long, you know.
But wake me up.
Yeah. I just couldn't that time, but thank you. But anyway, I came down here and where we're in the basement now, and I just marched around and prayed and prayed and claimed Scripture. And it was like I was under fire from every angle. It wasn't victorious. Well, I guess it was in that I was still standing and still praying and still saying, God, I love you. I know you love me. I know your promises are true. I'm not giving up hope, and you're not giving up on me. And but it was a desperate cry on a battlefield where I was outmanned and outnumbered, so it felt. By morning, I was exhausted and I was battered and wrung out. I felt just miserable in every way, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. And I was supposed to be hosting Easter brunch with my sister and her husband and their young adult kids. And I'm at the counter with my head on the counter sobbing, and Kev sitting with me. And in comes our family. I had no brunch ready. I was in no shape but there they were. And then our son Jake and his wife Lizzie. And what's so wonderful about these dear people is they just picked up on what was going on, and they all surrounded me.
Yeah, that was I remember that day really vividly too. And as I look back on it now, I just think how valuable is the body of Christ, whether it's family or friends, but people that just know you well, and whatever's going on, they just roll with it. You know, they didn't get their breakfast that day, but they did have some time with us just to pray and see what is going on. And they were just so engaged and involved. And so, man, we have people in our life like that, that we just, they're so valuable to us. And so we just know that there's people that will walk the journey with you and, you know, walk through the difficult seasons. And some days you get breakfast and some days you don't, you know, but yeah. Sometimes you just are going to spend time and pray. And there are some amazing things that came out of that time that we're still referring back to today.
So true. And that is the church. And that's probably going to be the culminating message, what you just said toward the end of the show, because we are seeing the power of agreed prayer. You mm-hmm. know, when we have agreement together, this is when stuff starts to happen. And they all got around, they put hands on me, they prayed, and I wept. I even said when I was marching down here, God, you either have to kill me or heal me. I don't have the bandwidth to keep fighting. I can't mentally and emotionally.
You're so tired.
I was exhausted, and I choke up just thinking about it. It was so hard, you know. And my nephew Noah, who's our godson, both Brody and Noah are godly young men. But Noah got in close and had his hand on my shoulder, and he said something like, Lord, I thank you that you have a plan to move Susie, to cross her over from a ministry of trial to a ministry of triumph. And it quickened in me when he said that. And it brought me back to this kind of, you know, actually it was a vision. So I must be younger than you, even though I'm older
amazing.
Than you. But it was really like one of these times when I was appealing to God. It was like, I don't know, a month prior. And I'm like, I feel like I am army crawling and I'm fighting for inches. God, where are you? Like, I see you moving over here in our lives. I hear you in your voice in these areas, but it's crickets with my health. And where are you? Is there anything I'm missing? Tell me what to do. And he whispered with such clarity, you may be gaining inches in the natural, but you're gaining miles in the spiritual realm. And he gave me this picture of me being a Navy SEAL. And I know you have opinions about.
But I won't say them.
I talk about being a Navy SEAL all the time. And he just always says, saying it doesn't make it so. But anyway, in this like word picture, God often speaks to me in word pictures. I was like a Navy SEAL behind enemy lines, and I'm deking through the woods, getting away from my enemy, and I could pivot, and I could deke, and I'm sprinting. I was agile. And then I came to the opening of these woods to this raging river, and I didn't even stop. I just jumped, and an unseen hand propelled me across this river. And when I landed, I leapt and bounded like every step had power in it. So I was suddenly taking, you know, making three times the space with one step, just bounding, right? But there was this picture of crossing over. When Noah said that, God brought that picture back to me. And the next morning, my Bible happened to be open into Isaiah. When you pass through the waters, they'll not overtake you. When you're in the fire, you'll not be burned. And there was a sense of a crossing over is coming. And I just knew it in my knower. And it was like that's why I feel like we have to position ourselves to be praying with each other, because we each have a lens. We each have ears to hear, and we're all going to bring something to the table. And things got worse before they got better, and sometimes they got better before they got worse. But there was a sense of expectancy. And I'd realized that I was hurt by God. I was disappointed in God, to be completely honest. And I just, like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm just so hurt. It's been 32 years. And I hear people say, I was sick for 2 weeks and I prayed and now I'm stronger than ever. And my book made the best-selling list while I was down for 2 weeks. And I mean, I'm happy for you, but it's like, I have felt like I have not in this realm for so long. And the Lord brought me to John the Baptist's story when, you know, Jesus is no better man born of woman than John. This is his, you know, second cousin, I think it would you describe him that. And he, you know, prepared the way for the Lord. He baptized Jesus, but then he was arrested and he was put in prison. So he was away from the action. And then he started to doubt. And I so appreciate that story in there, because the most seasoned saints, if you're battered enough, will start to wonder, is it really true? And so he sent his buddies back to say, are you the Christ or should we be looking for someone else? And Jesus' answer is really compelling. He says, go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk. Like the miracles are happening. Even when you're out away from the action, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am a miracle working God. But blessed are you who are not offended by me. And that is what arrested me, because, you know, when I interviewed Lee Strobel on the case for miracles, he talked about the one common denominator in those who received a miracle healing is they had a humble, hopeful expectancy. And I thought, I got to keep my heart in the right place. That's mine to do. God will do what he does. But I can't let my vision get skewed by accusing God of something he's not guilty of. His ways are higher than my ways. And his thoughts are deeper than my thoughts. And even so, even though this is hard, I'm so blessed on every side. And I have resources to contend. And so that was my charge, is to keep my heart right, keep my soil fresh, you know, pull out the weeds, pull the rocks out, so that when a planting happens, a harvest will come. And so on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about bring you to this Lenten season, because this was the season of miracles and how God mobilized three separate groups of women who were charged by God, assigned by God. He said, you will walk with Susie, you will pray with her until she's fully healed. Out of the blue, I was blindsided by God's love. I didn't see it coming. Just like that attack last Easter hit me out of nowhere, this love, this momentum hit me out of nowhere, and I'm in awe of God. And we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break.
It's again. Really an amazing story that we are walking through right now.
In real time. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing for Christ the Healer. We've got 10 copies to give away today. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. Susie Larson here, my very special guest, my husband, Kevin Larson. We're talking about the healing journey that we are on in real time. In the first half of the show, we gave some backstory so you have some context. And also, I had Kevin on the other day when we talked about what it's like to be married to me. Really, though, really wanting to interview someone who has walked a long time with someone who's battled chronic illness, because we know that there are plenty listening today where one spouse battles depression or unemployment or sickness, and the other kind of ends up caring more than they bargained for. What is that like? We talked about that, and Kev did a lot of the talking, and I'm kind of giving storyline here, and he's interjecting on this particular show. So here we are at a present moment. I explained before the break how devastating and hard last Easter was. So we come into Lenten season, and I didn't really have any kind of expectancy that God was going to do something great, because I'd been disappointed so many times. I think I was exhausted. I've been exhausted because the battle has been rough. I think I was really on the edge of almost a burnout, really, because it's just so mentally taxing to navigate your face going numb and your vision blurring. And I was at that place, and we have this group that we have dinner with every few months. Dr. Troy, who's on the show, him and his wife, and another friend of ours, Dr. Jimmy Ching, and his wife, Karna, and Kev and I. We have lunch or dinner every few months. Well, Karna and Jimmy had said, we're bringing another couple into this group. The husband's like a neuro brain spinal surgeon or something, and the wife is this humble, profoundly amazing woman of God. So they came to the dinner, and so sweet. And they're of Asian descent, so they gave us just this incredible backstory of their life and how they came to the States. It was really amazing, amazing. And there was a point during the break of the conversation, Esther, just if you could see her, she's just meek and humble. I had no idea that this woman was pure fire. I had no idea who I was dealing with. But she comes up to me and scoots down next to the table and says, I want you to know you're one of my favorite authors. And this gal is one of my other favorite authors. And she's a good friend and a local author. She had a debilitating illness, autoimmune issue, racked her with pain for 14 years, was miraculously healed, and now she has a healing ministry, and she wrote this book. Well, I get books all the time, but I gladly received it, but I can't read everything that everybody gives me because we have so many books. But that very night, I started to read, and one of our profs at the university wrote the foreword, who went to Rebecca Ribnick was teaching on healing, and I don't remember if he went out of curiosity or what, but he went to hear her speak. And she had this word that someone had a knee issue in the crowd, and he was due for a knee replacement. I believe he raised his hand, well, whatever, long story short, she prayed for him, and his knee was miraculously healed, and he wrote the foreword for this book. So just that gave some credibility of this gal. I was so caught up in her story, and I kept reading quotes to Kev going, this girl makes a biblical case for healing. So I texted Esther, a couple nights later and said, wow, there's something here. So Esther tiptoes more in. I don't know. Here's what I didn't know about Esther. They were missionaries in Kenya for 2 years, and she started many of the prayer movements happening there with missionary doctors in Kenya and prayers for the patients, prayers for the families, prayers for the prodigals. I think she probably had 7 prayer movements going on at one time. She just, it lights a fire wherever she goes. And every Advent and every Lenten season, she fasts for 50 days, does a partial fast for Christmas miracles and Lenten miracles, Easter miracles. And every year she sees miracles. And so this is her 7th year. So she said to the Lord, it's our 7th year, Lord. You must have a very important assignment for me. And the Lord said, I want you to pray for Susie Larson until she's healed. She'd up to this point had read my book Prevail because our mutual friend Karna had given it to her. And she just started to pray for me. And God gave her that charge. So she was so wise to not that she would have overwhelmed me, but she was wise to tiptoe into that.
She didn't lead with that. Right?
No, she didn't lead with that. I mean, other people had to tell me who I was dealing with here. But I texted her and said, there's something in this book. And she said, well, actually, Rebecca, and I would really love to pray with you if you'd like to do that. And I said, yes, because I was really in a desperate place. And Karna, I trust implicitly. So if she's a friend of Karna, she's a friend of mine. And so I said, yes, let's do that. Within a few days of that, I don't have all my dates in front of me, but we did an event at the Set Apart Conference at the university across the street from our radio station. And you were packing up the books. And once again, another gal approaches me, but each of these gals of these groups were with somebody that we trusted and respected, which really is important because there's lots of times people want to lay hands on you, and you don't always want to allow that if you don't know their context, right? Mm-hmm. But she walked up with one of our key intercessors, and I was so tired. But she had fire in her eyes and an authority and a kindness. And, I've shared on the show before some of the things people have said to me and to us that have not been helpful. So not that I'm always guarded, but I am a little that way at times when people come up and want to say things to me.
And I am too. I'm a little protective.
You are, because there have been crazy things that have been said, right? But she came up with such a presence of humility and authority, and she was with our friend Tammy, and I wanted to hear what she had to say, and she leaned in to protect my privacy, and she said something like, you know what, the Lord has seen you. I'm going to read it because I wrote it down. She said, Susie, I sense the Lord wants you to know that he's proud of you. He's seen how hard you fought to stand in faith while battling your health. You need to know that you're not standing here unhealed because you lack faith. Your fight has not been wasted on you. You've gained so much ground over the years and helped so many. When you get healed, God will propel you forward and cross over, and you'll help many others cross over to a place of healing, wholeness, and abundance.
That sounds familiar.
Hello. My husband and I have a prayer ministry. We'd consider it a great honor to stand with you and pray so that you can walk free and be healed. She basically said what that word picture was and what Noah had said, and it literally quickened within me.
Got her attention.
And I'm like, yes, 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 please pray for me. And then she's like, we'll text and we'll set it up. Within a few days of that, I have an author friend in Texas, and she travels in a strong charismatic stream. She's a dear friend, a biblical Christian, and I love her and trust her implicitly. She texted me and said, Susie, I feel like the Lord has charged me to pray for you for your healing. And I have a friend who's got a lot of compassion, who's been through a lot, and she wants to pray for you too. And we thought of flying to Minnesota, but you're actually flying to Texas. So how about we set it up for when you're here? I'll come and get you. So how it turned out was the prayer meetings happened Wednesday night with the tall angel woman and her husband and you and me and Tammy. Thursday morning was with Esther, my friend Karna, and Rebecca, the one who had a healing ministry, and a fourth gal, Melissa Coleman, whom you've heard on the show, because she really led that prayer meeting as a lawyer, led us into heaven's courts, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. That was Thursday morning. Friday, we drove to an event. We spoke at the event. Super powerful. From there, we drove to the airport, flew to Texas, and then I had my third prayer meeting. Now, in a nutshell, Wednesday night, it was Kevin and I, Maria and her husband, and Tammy. And they had a really interesting way about gathering information. Scott had his notepad and just asked for me to tell my story. And was just, they are establishing a pattern of theft. That's what they do. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you have life and life to the fullest. And what they want to know is, how is the enemy? Because he has a pattern of theft in every one of our lives. And if you look at your life down back to your childhood, he establishes an inroad in a consistent way that he robs from you. And what Maria said over and over again is, if you don't know what you possess in Christ, you don't know when the enemy has marched in and stolen it from you. But it's very clear in your case, the enemy has gone after you in your most vulnerable moments, so that you will live in fear, live bracing for impact. But you are not outside of the Lord's care. And there is a day when the enemy will have to restore, repay what he's stolen, where there's recompense, restitution. God will demand it. And so they just really did some teaching and some prayer on the inroads of theft. Did you want to say anything?
Yeah, it was really amazing just to sit back and listen. And both of us, I think at that time, we were like, okay, let's pray. And there's like, no, there's a process here to walk through. And it was really good just to walk through that and not be in such a hurry, but because God was leading the conversation. And they did a great job. We just really appreciated how they just walked us through that time. It was really very helpful.
And one of the things that really stuck out to me is she pounded into me, and we've talked plenty of times since then, is Susie, she said, unless you have the mindset that only goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, because you dwell in the house of the Lord, only goodness and mercy are allowed to follow you, that you're not on the outside of the circle. You're not the exception to the rule where you're the one who doesn't get protection. You have the exceptional promises of God. And she said, it's time to identify the lies and identify the theft and rise up. And you've got to find the word in the word that refutes the lies that are coming against you. And so it was just super powerful. And these are things I know, but I think given where I was at, I had a capacity to understand them on a deeper level as it applies. And one thing I'll tell you that I forgot to mention, I was so exhausted before these women approached me for the, you know, a couple months prior, because sleep has been a chronic issue for me. And I, you know, I've wavered back and forth. I have about, are you going to heal me? Are you not? You know, just because of their sick, godly people get sick and die. But I knew I had a biblical case on which to stand when it came to sleep, because he wired our bodies for sleep. He commands us to rest. And the promise is, you grant sleep to those you love. So Lord, I'm like, Lord, I don't understand the mystery of why some get healed and some don't. But I know I have a biblical case in your presence here on sleep. I can't function without sleep. And when I don't sleep, everything goes awry in my body with these neurological symptoms. I'm appealing to you, Most High God, speak to me. The more that I prayed about sleep, the more an old trauma surfaced. And it was like, I mean, supplements, or is there something I could do? And the more I prayed and appealed, the more the memory of a trauma came to me. And I needed to look at that. And so on the heels of God bringing that up, did he bring all these women who felt charged to pray with me? And they really, that first night, were saying, you are going to lie down and sleep. You're going to know that you're safe in his care. And God is going to remove the impact of this trauma. And on the other side of the break, we'll talk about what happened that Thursday morning. Now, I did a whole show with Melissa Coleman on mercy trials and the courts of heaven. But this is when things really shifted. This is when things actually changed in my physical body and in my heart and in my soul. And then when we got a hold of the book, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. How old did you say this book is? 100 years old?
Almost. 1924 it was written.
Yeah. Whoa. And over 500,000 copies in print. And so we bought 10 copies because we are being so rocked by it. You're several chapters ahead of me. And it's so interesting, hon, where there's mornings where I'm a little battered if I hadn't slept or some, you know, symptoms are having their way with me. You'll say, well, I just read this yesterday, and you'll give me a word out of this book, and then I'll go to scripture, and the confirmation is there. This is the most biblical book we've ever read on healing.
It's really been a game changer for us.
It really has. It's made us more focused and purposeful, and we just really do believe what God says, and it means what he says. And we're gonna lay out that case. So I think on the other side of the break, I'll tell a little bit about the mercy trials, because I did a whole show on that. And then we're going to start to make the case for healing. And there were some other twists and turns that involve family events in your life, honey, but God has worked it all together. Get 10 copies to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. That's Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Kevin Larson, my dear husband, is my guest today. And we are sharing the healing journey. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. Susie here with my dear husband, Kevin Larson, and we've been talking about the healing journey. We just were talking during the break. We need another hour. This time has gone by so fast.
It's
There's
so really
much
fast.
More. And I've been talking about these three groups of women that were mobilized to pray for me for my healing. And the group of four women that Thursday morning was led by Melissa Coleman. And we did a show on that. You're going to have to go back and listen, because I don't have time to get into it. But needless to say, she's a lawyer. And she talked about the courts of heaven and releasing mercy to your offenders. I had counseled through that trauma. I'd forgiven them. But my body was still literally holding on to that trauma. And there is, you know, there's a cellular blueprint. When we experience trauma, it imprints on our cells. And it really, you know, was a miraculous thing to walk through those trials, so to speak. And I, you know, I'm a word picture person that God speaks to me. I literally like felt and saw this picture of black soot leaving my body. And when it did, my body relaxed. I mean, I'm a different person since that happened. But what's so amazing is little sweet Esther, she said after our time, I call you tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so she calls at 10 and she says, okay, you agree with God. I agree with you. I'm like, What? She goes, pray. You agree with God. I agree with you. And so that put me in this place of going, Lord, I'm standing in agreement with your promises as I read them. And she prayed, and she's so passionate. She called me, I think, every day for 2 weeks and then said, I've got the women together, and we want a Zoom call with you every Wednesday morning and agree with you in prayer for your full healing. And they text me, Esther texts me Tuesday usually, how can we agree tomorrow? And what do you need? And she, you know, the truth is I have this group of intercessors that prays for our ministry when we're out. But because our kids are private and we're kind of private, I haven't said a lot about our kids to our intercessors. And she said, your family and your health have been wide open to enemy attack. You need some people standing specifically in those areas. And so,
which is so valuable.
Oh my goodness. And as we started to understand the judicial nature of God, mm-hmm. it's changed our prayer life. And this book has changed our prayer life. And all that to say, let me just read to you some of the evidences of miraculous healing. And you can continue to pray if you would, because some of the symptoms, the neurological symptoms, are still present, but there's such a giddiness and a joy and even an energy and a capacity that's so miraculous that you can't explain it, that I feel like this junk is just a matter of time before it leaves. And
we're different because of this journey.
We are totally different. So here's some evidences I wrote down. Just a joy and a giddiness and a happiness and an expectancy. That goodness and mercy follow me. That God is good and he's good to his kids. There's a deeper, stronger confidence in my heart of God's goodness. I'm more confident than ever that God is good. The remaining symptoms that I deal with seem beside the point. It's just a matter of time they have to be gone, because my whole inner man agrees that it is God's desire to heal me. I saw someone in public who'd hurt me deeply after this ministry time, and I felt only compassion and love. There was not even a ding in my spirit. I'm super motivated to clean and declutter. And now, I'm not a messy person, but I have piles and I've got closets and different things. And Melissa, the lawyer friend, said, it's like you're nesting, like you're getting ready for a birthing, you know? And it feels like that. I just feel like this. I almost want my house to reflect what's happening in my soul.
You're kind of nesting on steroids right now.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah. Which means you're nesting, because I can't do everything, so you got to do a whole bunch of stuff.
I have a lot of new projects.
Yeah. I don't feel like I can berate myself. Like I have a self-deprecating humor, but sometimes I cross the line and say things about myself that I would never say to someone else. And I have more space in my heart for other people. And I'm, you know, what's interesting, too, is prior to this, I was feeling so exhausted at the thought of writing a next book. I'm like, I can't do it. And I'm not even stressed about it. I just feel a new invitation to trust God and to let him lead. So those are evidences. But in the book, Christ the Healer, let's talk about the case that he makes. I'll just share some of the things that stuck out to me, and then you share some of the things that stuck out to you. He makes the case that, you know, when the priests in the Levitical law made atonement for the people, the Israelites, the atonement covered sin and sickness. So he said, if the new covenant is that much more glorious, why would he revoke his promise to heal? And then Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus is a representation of God. And everywhere he went, he healed them all. He never once said, I'm keeping you sick to teach you a lesson, or I'm making you sick to teach you a lesson. And what moved him was his compassion. He was so compassionate for those who suffered. And what Bosworth says in the book is Jesus has that same compassion sitting at the right hand of the Father pleading for us. So how is the new covenant much more glorious if that piece is revoked and pulled out? And, you know, and when Isaiah, it says, by his stripes we are healed. Peter repeated those words, by his stripes we are healed. So there's so much in there that he makes a case that it is God's will to heal. Now, what do you do with the mystery? I think we have to live with the mystery. I don't fully understand. And I think that's why I struggled for so long to jump in with both feet, because I've been judged for not being healed. I've seen others judged, you know, where they declare A plus B always equals C. And I just think that's so wrong. In fact, one of the things Bosworth says is you can't judge people for not being healed. It takes a community to see people healed. It's your fault they're not healed. Mm-hmm. You're judging them instead of interceding. And what Esther did and what these women have done is what he's saying the church needs to do. Get the mind of the Lord on God's will, that he cares about the human condition. You cannot dispute that. When you follow Jesus, he not only preached the good news, he even told the disciples, when I'm sending you out, heal the sick, deliver the demonized, and tell them the kingdom is at hand. Those things are happening all over the world today. And Christians in other parts of the world wonder why we debate in the West, does God heal today, or are those gifts gone? And we, our own family, have seen a miracle. Our own son was miraculously healed. And what I'm walking out right now is an indisputable miracle. You know, I mean, after years of being so bound up, I'm free. It is just amazing. But you had a few things that stood out to you too. I'd love for you to share.
Yeah. First of all, it's such an amazing thing how we just absolutely know it's God's will to save people. So when we pray for salvation for someone, we just know that that's God's will. But sometimes with healing or some of the other promises that we get in Scripture, it's like we give them an out. It's like, probably won't happen, or maybe that won't happen. But really, in Scripture, it's like it's calling for us to look at this the same way. God's power, his word is true, and it's right, and it's good, and it's for always. And so there's a couple things that really jumped out of this book at me, and a couple takeaways. You know, where you read a book like this, and there's always a couple takeaways. I love word pictures, and so these things kind of speak to me. But one of them that he brought up in this book, if I remember this right, it was like he was talking about a game of checkers. And if you look at your faith walk, whether it applies to just healing or even just, I think this can just apply to your faith walk in general, whatever you're believing God for, and you're as you're walking through life with God, he looks at it as a checkers, and it's one single turn at a time. So one person takes a turn, then the next person takes a turn. And this is what he said, that God always makes the first move. And then the second thing is that God never takes the second move. He doesn't steal your turn, in other words. But God always follows your move. And if you think about that, he went through several cases in Scripture, and Noah's one of them. Just think, God, he took the first move. He told Noah, this is what I want you to do. The next move belonged to Noah. He had to build an ark, which is a big, audacious move. And so he did that, and God wasn't going to take that move. He wasn't going to make it for him, but he was going to take the following move. He always makes the following move and does what he promises and says he was going to do. So in your faith journey, wherever you're at, whether you're believing for healing or anything, wherever you're at in your faith journey, whose turn is it right now? Mm. Who are you waiting for? Is it your turn right now, and God's just waiting for you to move? Or is it God's turn, and he's going to do his thing, and now it's time for you to trust and wait for him?
I know we're almost out of time, and I want you to talk about the deed, but I want to say this really quick. Ephesians 2:8-9, you've heard me talk about this. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, as a gift of God, not a result of works, no one can boast. We use that for salvation, and it applies, but saved translates sozo, and it means more than saved from the penalties of judgment. It means healed, restored, made whole. And that is the thing. The gospel is more powerful than we know. If you can tell the deed story in 2 minutes, let's do it.
So these promises in Scripture, they belong to us, and they're true, and they're right. So this is another point that he made that I never thought about this way, but regarding the promises of God, you think about it like a house, and if you ask this question, when is it that you own a house? Is it when you first saw it? Is it when you drove by it? Is it when you move in? No, it's when you received the deed. The deed is a piece of paper that says you own that house, so you don't even have to see the house or ever have seen the house. You could own a house on the other side of the world in a different country, but if you own the deed, you own the house. So to look at God's promises that way, whether it's about healing or something else, God's promises are true. It's like you have the deed and you own it. So live like you own it. Even if you haven't seen it yet, or even if you haven't moved in yet, that house belongs to you just as much as it possibly can, because you own and you have that deed. So promises of God are like that deed.
And I think the reason we're scared of this is because these concepts have been misused to make God a means to an end. I want to get that Corvette, and I want this, and I want that. That's not about that at all. But he makes the case that there are privileges and promises that belong to children of God. Right. And his whole reason for wanting to restore your soul, heal you, and make you whole is so you can show up and serve God with a more robust energy. He makes a solid case. And so this is why we bought 10 copies, because I'm praying they get into the right hands. So I hope you know us well enough to say this is not name it, claim it, but it's getting a word from the Lord and then standing on it going, Lord, I know you promised me this. And when you told me that one morning about the deed, and I thought, okay, I haven't fully moved into it yet, like as far as the deed of the promise, by your stripes, I am healed. You actually have to force it out of theology to make it not work, because it's there in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. But I know Jesus, when he won a sound victory on the cross for my sin and my sickness. So, and then you know what else is? My faith pleases him. So when we deal with the mystery, I think we have to be content to go, I'm better for it when I have faith. Like faith changes me. It pleases God. It echoes into eternity. And so if there are times, and there are times when really godly people have faith and get sick and die, well, they've graduated to heaven. But are you better off being cynical and blaming God? I just don't think so. I think that there needs to be a joy and expectancy. But I think all of us, God wants to awaken a heart to go, goodness and mercy, follow me all the days of my life.
And as we said, this is real time for us. We are just learning this right now. We're learning new things about this all the time. It's constantly in our prayers and our conversations right now. But it's like one of these questions that we ask, if this is true, then I want more of it.
Amen.
I want to know more. And so that's where we're at, and just praying that you will just walk this journey with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, if this is true, we want more.
And we'll be back to give you more updates. But we've come to the end of the show. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Here's the number if you want to text to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. God bless you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.